Chapter 9. The 39 Steps. Sir Walter got up and left the room. He came back after 10 minutes. "I've spoken to Alloa. I got him out of bed. He was very angry. He hasn't left his house all day." "It's impossible," said Winstanley. "I sat next to him for nearly half an hour." "That's what's so clever," I said. "You were too interested in other things to look at him closely. You knew that he might be well enough to come tonight, and, as First Sea Lord, it was natural for him to be here. Why should you suspect that it wasn't him?" Then the Frenchman spoke, very slowly and in good English. "This young man is right. He understands our enemies. People only see what they expect to see. This man came late, spoke little, and left early. But he behaved exactly as we would expect Lord Alloa to behave."
"But I don't understand," said Winstanley. "Our enemies don't want us to know what they have learnt about our war plans. But if one of us talked to Alloa about tonight's meeting, we would discover immediately that he hadn't been here."
Sir Walter laughed angrily.
"That shows their cleverness again, in choosing Alloa. They took a risk, but everybody knows that Alloa is a sick man, and is often too ill to go to meetings. And even when he is well, he is impatient, difficult, and a man of very few words. Which of us was likely to speak to him about tonight?"
"But the spy hasn't taken the plans," said Winstanley. "He saw them, but could he carry away pages of information in his head?"
"It is not difficult," said the Frenchman. "A good spy can remember things photographically."
"Well, I suppose we'll have to change our plans," said Sir Walter unhappily.
"There's another problem," said Royer. "I said a lot about the plans of the French army. That information will be very valuable to our enemies. That man and his friends must be stopped immediately."
"They could simply send their information in a letter," said Whittaker. "It may already be in the post."
"No," said Royer. "A spy brings home his information personally. And he collects his pay personally. These men must cross the sea, so we still have a chance. You must watch the coast and search ships. It is desperately important for both France and Britain." Royer was right. We could do something. But none of us felt very hopeful. How, among the 40 million people in Britain, could we find the 3 cleverest criminals in Europe? Then, suddenly, I had an idea.
"Where is Scudder's book?" I asked Sir Walter. "Quick, I remember something in it."
He gave it to me. I found the place.
39 steps, I read. And again, 39 steps. I counted them. High tide. 10:17 p.m.
Whittaker clearly thought I had gone mad.
"Don't you see? It's a clue," I cried. "Scudder knew where they were going to leave England. Tomorrow was the day. And it's somewhere where high tide is at 10:17.
"Perhaps they've already gone tonight," someone suggested.
"Not them. They have their own secret way. And why should they hurry? They don't know that we're after them. Where can I get a book of tide tables?"
Whittaker looked happier.
"It's a chance," he said. "Let's go to the Navy offices."
Sir Walter went off to Scotland Yard to get MacGillivray,
The rest of us drove to the Navy offices, where we went to a big room, full of books and maps. We got a copy of the tide tables, and I sat down and looked through it while the others watched. It was no good. There were more than 50 places where high tide was at 10:17. We needed more information than that. I thought hard. What did Scudder mean by steps? And why was it so important to count them? It must be somewhere with several paths going down to the sea. This path would be the only one with 39 steps. I had another thought and checked the time of regular ships leaving England. There was no ship at 10:17. Why was high tide important? In a big harbour, the tide doesn't matter. It is only important in a small harbour, or somewhere where there is no harbour at all. Then I thought about where a man would leave England if he were going to Germany. Not from the south coast, or the west coast, or Scotland. It would be somewhere on the east coast, probably between Cromer and Dover. I am not Sherlock Holmes, but I am used to using my head, and when I guess, my guesses are often right. I wrote out my ideas on a piece of paper. Almost certain. 1. A place where there are several paths down to the sea. One of these has 39 steps. 2. High tide at 10:17 p.m. A place where it is only possible for a ship to leave the coast at high tide. 3. Probably not a harbour, but open coast with cliffs and a beach. 4. Ship, probably a small one, a yacht or a fishing boat. 5. Somewhere on the east coast between Cromer and Dover. It seemed strange to be sitting at a table, watched by a group of very important people, trying to understand something written by a dead man. But it was a matter of life or death to us. Sir Walter and MacGillivray arrived. They had men watching all the harbours and railway stations with descriptions of the three men. But none of us thought that this would help. "Here's the best I can do," I said. "We have to find a place where there is a path with 39 steps down to a beach. It must be somewhere on the east coast. Of course, it's somewhere where high tide is at 10:17 tomorrow night. Who can we ask who knows the east coast really well?" Whittaker said he knew a man who lived in South London. He went off in a car to get him, and came back at about 1 o'clock in the morning with an old sailor who had worked all his life on the east coast. "We want you to tell us about places you know on the east coast where there are cliffs and steps going down to the beach," said Winstanley. He thought for a minute or two. "There are a lot of seaside towns, holiday places, where there are steps from the town down to the beach." "No, that's not private enough," I said. "Well, I don't know. Of course, there's the Rough." "What's that?" "It's in Kent, near Bradgate. There are cliffs with houses along the top, big houses. Some of the houses have steps down to a beach. Mostly rich people live there. The sort of people who like to be private." I opened the tide tables at Bradgate. High tide was at 10:27 on the 15th of June. "This looks hopeful," I cried. "How can I find out when high tide is at the Rough?"
"I can tell you that, sir," said the sailor. "I used to go fishing there. High tide is 10 minutes before Bradgate."
I closed the book and looked up at the others. If one of those paths has 39 steps, then I think we have a good chance, I said. Can I take a car, Sir Walter, and a map? If Mr. McGillivray can help me, perhaps we can prepare something for tomorrow. It seemed strange for me to take control like this, but I was used to action, and they could see it. It was the Frenchman, Royer, who said what they were all thinking. I am quite happy, he said, to leave this business in Mr. Hannay's hands. At 3:30 in the morning, I was driving through Kent in the moonlight, with McGillivray next to me.